Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Church Training Congregation outside the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is June the 1st, 2025, or it is the 7th day of Sivan in 2029. We will start our second service on this Pentecost, Sabbath. If a man died on the 200 reading number 32, if a man dies, how shall he live again, and what shall he be like? March the 20th, 1948, he said, for if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in the Yahshua will Yahweh bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Yahshua shall not prevent them which are asleep. For Yahshua himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Yahweh, and the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18. Here we see that those who come up in the first resurrection shall not only live again, but shall die no more. Now, to find our answer for the question, what shall a man be like if he lives again, we shall first turn into the book of the Genesis, Genesis 2:7, and the Yahshua formed, and the Yahweh the Father formed a man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of the life, and man became a living soul. In this scripture, we are told that Yahweh formed man out of the dust of the ground. Then the breath of the life was breathed into his nostrils, and thus he became a living soul, that the breath and the body together are what makes the soul. For the process of the development is the same as is the process of the ice making a low temperature, and the water make ice just as the body, and the breath makes the soul. Hence, when the breath leaves the body, man no longer is a living soul. No more than the ice is ice after it goes back into the water. For the man obviously has no existing soul after the breath leaves his body, for the body and the breath together make the soul. I know, says the wise man, that whatsoever Yahweh doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put unto it, nor anything taken from it. And Yahweh doeth it that men should fear before him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3:18-21. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sun of men, that the Yahweh might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go in unto the one place, all are of the dust, and all turn unto the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of the man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward into the earth? For the inspiration, you see, first shows us how man was created and what he is like. Then it asks point blank, who knoweth the spirit of the man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward into the earth? For the only answer that can be given is that no one knows but the Yahweh. And since he has told us that the body and soul together, not apart, make the soul, then it is plain that a dead man has no soul, that the body returns to the dust, and the breath returns to the breath, to the wind. Moreover, whatever befalls the beast, the same befalls the man. They both have one breath, declares inspiration, and the one has no preeminence above the other. This is what the Yahweh says about the soul, and we should believe him rather than fool ourselves with the uninspired theories of men who presumptuously say that the soul never dies. Although Yahweh says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. Hence, when man dies, his soul vanishes as does ice when the temperature rises above the freezing. Next, to find what man will look like when he is made to live again a sinless life, we should see what man looked like before he sinned. Genesis 3:6-8. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for the food, and that it was pleasant unto the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed the leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Yahweh walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Yahweh amongst the trees of the garden. Immediately after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, a surprising change took place. They at once perceived that the light of the life and beauty with which they had been clothed vanished away, and they saw themselves naked, ugly, and shameful to the eye. Consequently, they tried to cover themselves with the leaves and to hide away among the trees. The leaf covering, though, was not adequate, and therefore Yahshua made them coats of the skins. What shall man be like? if he lives again, certainly not less than he was in the beginning, for all that was lost is to be restored. Okay? Is to be restored. I'm going to underscore that. It says, neither is he to be improved upon, for everything that Yahweh made, he himself pronounced very good. Genesis 1:31. And so if a man lives again, he shall be exactly what Adam was before he sinned. Now for the answer to the question, how shall he live again? We shall turn unto Ezekiel 37:1-10. For the hand of the Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of the bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Then he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Yahweh. Thus says the Yahweh unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with the skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and the whole was shaking, and the bones came together, bones of his bones. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, this says to Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Here we learn that the process of the resurrection is the same as the process of the creation. First, the frame of the man, then the organism, the flesh, the skin, and last, the breath. And again, he becomes a living soul. For the man's soul, or spirit, you see, is not called down from the heaven or up from the hell. And in fact, not a soul at all, but when from the four corners of the earth filled his lungs, that's the command of the Yahweh, and thus he again becomes a living soul. Then too, the material of which man was composed, originally of the same, shall be made again, for bone to bone come together, when he thus recreated or re-resurrected, though, he must retain the knowledge and memory that he had at his death. Otherwise, the man that is raised would not be the man that died. And if such be not his case, then the experience gained in this life would be lost. For the next point of the interest would be to know why there are two resurrections. 1,000 years apart, Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6, let us turn to Romans 8, 10, and 11. And if the Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of the righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Those who die with the Spirit of Yahshua in them are the ones who come up in the resurrection of the just. But those in whom the Spirit of Yahshua does not dwell or to come up in the resurrection of the unjust 1,000 years after the resurrection of the just. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh of Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If these verses mean what they say concerning the righteous, then concerning the wicked, it actually says, cursed and unholy is he that hath no part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath power. They shall not be the priest of the Yahweh and of the Yahshua, and shall not reign with him during the 1,000 years. If we accept Yahweh's word as the inspiration gives it unto us, and if we are the doers of his word, we shall live again and be the perfect image of the other, as were Adam and Eve. We shall indeed return into the Garden of Eden, for the garden too shall again flourish as before, and the tree of the life shall bear its fruit every month. And so you see, a man shall thus live again, and thus live forever. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, they said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all those things, and I will be his God, Yahweh, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:47. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things, for now we see through a glass darkly. But greater than face to face, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known, and now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Okay, this brings the end of 2 Timothy 32, and it looks like that we have some time. We got 40 minutes to go. 2 Timothy 32, and it's entitled, The Cleansing of the Sanctuary, When and How Done. And we're just going to go right on into the sermon and forego the prayer thought. This is Texas address by March 27, 1948. It's found in Daniel chapter 8, verses 14. I shall begin with 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the verse concerning the daily sacrifice, and concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. To this question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under the foot? Question mark. Change the answer. Under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, within 2,300 days, the daily shall be taken away. That's the daily we observe every day at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. These are two sacred hours for the transgression of the desolation. Set up for the sanctuary, and the house shall be trodden underfoot. After this, the sanctuary is to be cleansed every morning. Margin, you know, 24 hours a day, for 4 minutes of the time. The word sacrifice does not belong in the text. Daniel 8:16-17, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uriah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came in there where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. For the Gabriel explanation that at the time of the end shall be the vision shows that the paramount importance of the vision is the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it takes place not in the Daniel time and not before the time of the end, but after 2,300 days in the time of the end. The time of the end is in the scripture by the jail, while probation still is lingering. Now, since the 2300 days began summer, in the 5th century, the Lord, Yahshua, is seen in the following verses, and since the vision was to be for many days, for the time of the end, then obviously the 2300 days must be computed a day for a year, as in the Ezekiel 4:6, for the 2300 days therefore are after 2300 years, and the end of which the sanctuary is spent, which signs are to mark the time of the end. Daniel 12:4. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be improved. For the angel explains that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, and the fact that men are now running to and fro, and that the knowledge has been increased, it is self-proof that we are now living in the time of the end, that the vision is now to be understood, and that the sanctuary is now to be cleansed. Daniel 8:18-21. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. For the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of the Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Here you see where the prophetic history of this vision begins. He begins with the Medo-Persian Empire and carries us in time through the victories of the Alexander the Great, Daniel 8:23. Medo-Persian Empire. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, the king of the fierce countenance and understanding, dark senses shall stand up. And the latter end of the Medes and the Greeks, when the transgressors, the Jews, are come to the full, another king of the kingdom was to stand up. It was none other than the Rome, and the kingdom which overran the four Grecian divisions. Daniel 8:26-27. And the vision, and the evening, and the morning, which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel here confesses that the meager explanation which the Gabriel gave concerning the vision was not sufficient. None could understand it. Consequently, as time went on, and as he still could not understand the vision, although the set time for the liberation had come, he graphically said, Daniel 9:1-3, and 22 and 23, in the first year of the Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of the Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Yahweh to seek by prayer and supplication, and with the fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he informed me and talked with me, and I said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee a skill and understanding, at the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Because Gabriel was to begin where he left off, Daniel 8, he counseled Daniel first to consider the vision. Then said Gabriel, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for the iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Since the Gabriel is here explaining the vision of the chapter 8, the things that were to take place during the 2300 days, the 70 weeks are therefore a part of the 2300 days. Okay. Let us now study this subject with the aid of the chart. Well, you can't see the chart, but we can continue on reading. For the 70 weeks are actually 490 years. Mark that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Jews, were to make an end of sin and make reconciliation for their iniquity, or else be hopelessly given up. Next, Daniel was told where the 70 weeks began. Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment for the restoring and for the building of Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks, for the street shall be built again and the wall even in a troublous time. From the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince, unto Yahshua, there were to be 7 weeks, 49 years, and 62 weeks, 434 years, 69 weeks in all, or 483 years. History shows that the decree to rebuild the ancient city went forth in 457 B.C., hence 483 years. From 457 B.C. brings us to 27 A.D., until the year Yahshua the Messiah was baptized. This incident too proves that the 2300 days are concluded a day for a year, and that the 70 weeks are the first block of the time. From within the 2300 days, look at the chart. We should now remember that after the cutting off of the 69 weeks from the 70 weeks, there is yet 1 week left. What takes place during this week is told in the verses that follow. Daniel 9:26-27. And after 3 score and 2 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall call the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Guess what was to take place during the first 7 weeks or 49 years? I am not prepared to say, but in the end of the next 62 weeks or 434 years, the Messiah was to be cut off, crucified. During the remaining week, the 70, he was to confirm the covenant with many, and in the midst of it, he was to be cut off, crucified. That is, there were to be 3.5 years from his baptism unto the crucifixion, and 3.5 years after the crucifixion, in which he was to confirm the covenant. This completes the 70 weeks and brings us unto the time that the apostles were commanded to go out and preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. One named Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, and an apostle, were both given a vision. Cornelius was instructed to see the Peter, and Peter was commanded to meet the Cornelius. See Acts chapter 10, where the Jews as a nation failed to make an end of sin and were therefore rejected, given up. For Yahshua's own sacrifice at the end of the first 3.5 years replaced the sacrificial ceremonial system, and thus he called the sacrifice to see in the midst of the week. All this time and event, you see, took place exactly as Gabriel predicted. Nevertheless, even with the added explanation, Daniel still was not able to comprehend all that was in the vision. But as the time went on, and as his burden for the deliverance of his people increased, knowing that the time had come, he prayed for the light. This prayer is recorded in the first part of the chapter 10, after which the angel appeared and again explained. Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these sins but Michael your friend. Daniel was then promised all the light that should be given, not only on the vision of the Daniel 8, but on all that is noted in the scripture of the truth and the connection with the vision. For that which the angel showed him is recorded in the Daniel 11 and 12. Chapter 11, you will see, begins with the vision of the Daniel 8. With the kings of the Medo-Persia and Grecia, as symbolized by the ram and the goat, and the chapter 8. Then was Daniel told that the explanation at last was sufficient, but that it was impossible for him to understand it all, for the vision was sealed unto the time of the end, chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Now this long prophetic history and geography as seen in the chapters 11 and 12, the angel brings us up into the time of the end of, unto the time of the cleansing, that the cleansing is to take place. And here is the nature of the cleansing according unto the angel's word, Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered to every one that shall be found written in the book by the delivering of the righteous. He thoroughly separates the righteous from among the wicked. He puts the good fish in the vessels and casts out the bad. Matthew 13:48. He shall cleanse his people from sin and sinners. John 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, and some unto shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. For the wicked that arise with the righteous in the mixed resurrection, and also to be separated from the righteous, the wicked are to be put to shame and everlasting contempt, but the righteous are to be given eternal life. Daniel 12:10. It says, and many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall be wicked, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. For the living righteous shall be purified, but the wicked shall become even more wicked. Daniel 12:11-12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes justice set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Here is another block of the time from within the 2,300 days is introduced. The beginning kind of time that the daily is abolished and the abomination set up. The daily represents something which should not have been abolished, and the abomination represents something that should not have been set up. For the word sacrifice is supplied, and it belongs in the text. Richard Hollis says it does not belong, but I change that to yes, it does belong, and I'll show you why. For the life on these read, track number 3, the harvest. It should be noticed, however, that the promised blessing, the cleansing, does not begin until after the 1,335 days or years of start. Now, since the 2,300-year period began in 457 B.C. with the command sent for the restoring and for the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, the 2,300 days of concert or cleansing, and in 1844, the time that the 1,335 days in, and then the days of the blessing began. This should now be remembered, that this cleansing of the sanctuary and purity, cleansing of both those who are to be resurrected and those who are to be living during the cleansing time, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel of the cleansing among the living, Yahshua said, Ezekiel 36:24-29, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the country, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you, and you heart also. I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk up and down in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh, and I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. None of the living can actually be cleansed from all the marks of sin while among the Gentile nations, you see. They must first be separated from the hypocrites and the Gentiles, then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water, cleansed from all of their filthiness and all their idols, when they get into their own land, not before. Even a new heart is to be given them, there, and a new spirit also. Thus will the Yahweh cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgment forevermore. Thus shall they return and dwell in the land of their fathers, Palestine. And thus shall they be Yahweh's people eternally. For these things, you see, are premillennial. Let us now examine the cleansing according unto the prophets Joel, Malachi, and Jeremiah. Joel 3:21. For I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahweh dwelleth in Zion. Malachi 3:1-2. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahweh whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yeshua of the host, son of the Yahweh. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soul, and he shall sit as a refiner, and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levites, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahweh an offering and righteousness. Jeremiah 31:31-33. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. It will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. For the old covenant has been to teach the commandments while they are written not on the heart, but on the tables of the stone, against the will of the stony heart. But the new covenant is to cleanse them from their stony hearts and to write the commandments on their hearts of the flesh. Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahweh. For they shall all know me. Let's do that again. For they saying, Know the Yahshua. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When the Yahweh's people are thus cleansed, they shall all know the Yahshua. Then they shall indeed be his people, his nation, and the Yahweh's guarantee is this. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith Yahshua, which giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by the night. Which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, for the Yahshua of the host is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahshua, then the seed of the Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Does the Yahweh do this because his people have been good, or because he wants to vindicate his name? Let us see. Ezekiel 36:20-24. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, These are the people of the Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of the Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of the Israel, Thus saith Yahshua, If I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith the Yahshua Yahweh, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen and give you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Plainly, the word declares that the sanctuary is to be cleansed, that the land also is to be reclaimed, and the kingdom restored, not by the reason of the people's goodness, but for the Yahweh's name's sake, for his own goodness' sake. For the heathen, too, will know what the Yahweh has done for his people. For the scriptures show that all this shall take place right before their eyes. This same cleansing Yahshua describes thus, Matthew 25:32-34. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here is the truth that the Seventh-day Advent denomination has overlooked, for they think that they are to make a beeline to the throne of the Yahweh for the millennium. But according unto the scriptures, here you see that people must first be separated from among the heathen, then cleansed from all their filthiness, and thus be enabled to stand in the presence of a pure and eternal Yahweh. Thus is the sanctuary among the living cleansed, and thus are the people to be fitted to reign with Yahshua 1,000 years. Brothers, sisters, make certain that she be found not among the goats on his left, but with the sheep on his right, if you are to hear the king say, "Come, ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:34. And remember that we have now been living in the time of the end for some years. Moreover, this light has now come because the cleansing of the living members of the church is at hand. 15:3-5. In the Gideon, the Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream. By the night. Well, actually, we'll take that back off. We're at the end of our study of two-timed reading number 33. And this brings the third of our study to this hour. Contact us at 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.